What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. Me? No. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be singing with Adrian Manujano. He's the owner of the Movement brand. It's an apparel and clothing company preserving la cultura through fashion. This is actually the very first episode where I call my guest that I don't have right in front of me. And it was a little bit weird, a little bit strange on my end. Because I don't know, it was something new, and I'm still new to it. I appreciate Adrian's patience with me and his cooperation, and I know you guys are gonna enjoy this episode. I certainly enjoyed making it, and I don't know, it's very inspirational. So you can find them at the Movement, on Instagram, the and then MVMT brand. You can find them on Instagram. Also, you can look his website at themovementbrand.com, where you can see all his different clothing, the shirts, the hats, all of his apparel. He also has a beer that is strictly for him. He created himself, and I'm very excited. I kind of want to try it. So hopefully when he comes down to Molcajete, which I was planning to, so you might notice that there's no picture of us. Like I said, this is the phone call that I had with him. And, you know, I was supposed to meet up with him at Molcajete, but I had some stuff that I had to deal with that didn't make it possible for me to meet him up. But on the next one, I'm planning to go. All right, I'm going to go. And then on the next one, we're going to take a picture together. And that's the one I'm going to post for this episode. All right. And I've been sitting on this one for that reason. So I was sitting on this episode for like maybe a week or two. You know, I was sick, and then I didn't release it because I wanted to take a picture with him, because I knew the next week was Molcajete, so I held off on it. But yeah, so you know, I ended up releasing it now. He has an event coming up, December 2nd. It's called Winterfest 2018. The location is 25 Main Street, Vista Village. It's free for all the family. So it's this Sunday, December 2nd, from 2 to 7 p.m. So make sure you go show him some support. Tell him you heard this episode. Tell him that you enjoyed his brand and everything. Hopefully, when I meet him up, I could buy some merch, and I'm definitely gonna raffle something, right? And I mean, I didn't even get into it, but hopefully you guys had a good Thanksgiving. You know, I know I had some people asking me like how to deal with drama during the holidays. And you know what, either you separate yourself from, you know, from what's going on, from the people that are being toxic in your life, or you find a way to entertain yourself. You know, maybe like for me personally, I like making people mad and like being a jerk and being an asshole, just pushing buttons. That's the person I am. I'm very sarcastic and I'm laid back. So like anything you tell me, I don't really take it to heart. Unless I really like you, then yeah, that's when I take it to heart. I get butthurt if you tell me something. So on that topic, I had a question from a listener, right? So said, I was asking, what did you think about family holidays and gathering when one of your relatives says something wrong? And how do you go about it handling those situations? Do you bother in explaining to them why they are wrong in thinking that way, or do you just stay silent? So, like I said, if the environment is too toxic, maybe you just need to separate yourself, maybe take a lap. And honestly, like, it just depends on yourself. It depends on like the severity or like what we're saying, or like, if it really bothers you, then speak up. Don't stay silent. You know, maybe help him. Help him through it. Don't lecture him. Just help him through it. I don't know. Maybe you can help him through the thought process. Maybe you have information. You know, maybe like, oh, you know what? Like, well, I saw this. Don't argue. The last thing you want to do is argue. Don't be condescending either. Just talk to the person. If it's really important, if it's an issue that really, really matters to you and you feel it's worthy of standing up for, then you shouldn't stay silent. You should be, speak your mind. But it's really up to you. It depends whether you want to go to war, whether how big How is that saying, like, do you want to go to war over a mountain, like an anthill, you know? I don't even know. I'm just talking out of my ass right now. But yeah, so I mean, it just depends how you feel about it. If it's a big issue that you want to speak up for, then speak up. You know, be yourself. Do you. All right, you should just stay silent. So yeah, I mean, hopefully I was helpful. And I mean, if it's an issue that you care about, you know, speak up. So yeah, I mean, hopefully you guys had a great Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, then hopefully you did something fun. A lot of people had the day off. Hopefully you had the day off. If you didn't, I didn't either. So you're not alone. Starting December, you guys know what I did last year. For anybody that does not know, for every review that I get on iTunes, I'm gonna donate $5. All right, $5 to any so this is what's gonna go down. All right, baby, let me get my thoughts straight. All right, so I'm gonna donate some money, up to $500. All right, so for every review I get on iTunes, I'm gonna donate to a charity of your guys's choice. So if you guys could send me some charities that you feel will benefit from some donations. Unfortunately, there's people out there that are, you know, they're using their power. They're abusing their power, and they're making others feel less than or taking their rights away. And if you know any organization, like maybe Alzheimer's, cancer associations, that are actually going to benefit from the money, they're not going to pocket for themselves. Last year, I donated to the St. Jude's. Personally, a lot of my family members have had cancer. My mom had breast cancer, ovarian cancer. My grandma had leukemia. So I'm going to do a poll. So if you guys could do me a favor, send me some organizations, and then whichever ones get the most votes, then that's going to be the one at the end of the year. So yeah, so at the end of the year, that's the one I'm going to give the money to. Up to $500. So hopefully, so like I said, which I doubt. I'm gonna hit 500. Last year I think I did like 50 or 70, so you know, but I'm giving you guys plenty of time. All right, so it's still November, so starting December 1st, all right, any review from December 1st and on, I'm gonna donate $5. So get the word out there, please. Get the word out there, tell people about it, tell people to listen to this show, tell people that I'm donating money, and all they have to do is do some selfish act of leaving a couple words. You have to leave a review, 5 stars, and you actually have to write some stuff. If you don't write some stuff, I'm sorry, I can't count that. I need you to write some stuff, and I need you to like leave me the 5 stars. Please leave me 5. Don't leave me 4. Don't leave me 3. Don't leave me 1. No, please don't leave me 1, because then I'm gonna start crying. Okay, but please leave me 5. All right, and please share the show. The free thing that you guys could do, the easiest and most free thing you could do, leave a review and just tell people about the show. I really, really appreciate it. You know, I get into my little depression points where everything's meaningless and I don't know why I'm still doing this. And then one of you guys stands up and encourages me to keep on going and put stuff into perspective. And I remember why I started doing this. So if you guys don't have a sticker and want one, make sure you send me a DM on Instagram or send me a message on Facebook. Also, I have an email address where you can ask me for one. And also, I have hats. Ooh, I'm excited because I'm coming up with a new hat and a new shirt. And I'm excited to bring it out. It's not ready yet, so I'm not going to tell you about it. But stay tuned. The seat's big, and I know you're sitting on the edge. So sit a little bit back. Use the whole seat for now, okay? Yeah. I think I murdered that saying, whatever it's called. But yeah, I think I'm just rambling on, so I'm gonna stop now, and we're gonna enjoy the show. All right, guys, cool.
así, siempre viviendo en mis fantasías.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Did you guys enjoy that song? Hopefully you guys enjoyed it, because that's the song I've been into this week. Anyways, today I'm sitting with Adrian Mandujano. He's the creator of The Movement, a clothing brand from the city of San Diego. How are you, man?
Doing good. And yourself?
I'm all right. A little hungry. I'm on like a little diet. I started doing a diet this week, so I haven't been eating what I like, the amount of food that I usually eat. So, you know, I can't wait to eat again. But that's me being a fatty right there. That has nothing to do with this. But so yeah, man. So before we start, I want to thank you, because you're actually my very first person that I interview over the phone. So your clothing brand is called The Movement, right? So can you tell me a little bit about the brand, the first of all, the name, like how did you decide to name The Movement?
I came upon the name The Movement because I saw a symbol that I liked. It was an indigenous Aztec symbol, which is called Nawioli. If you translate it into English, it translates to The Movement. And at the time I was trying to start my clothing brand, I wasn't really too familiar with my culture. I wasn't able to communicate in Spanish, and I just didn't really know a lot about my history, my family history. So in a sense, I was still in on a journey in discovering who I am, my roots, some of the history that comes along with it. So I am on a movement into preserving culture in order to discover who we are. Now I know me, for example, I'm the fourth generation, and there's a lot of us that can't really relate or can't really say, oh, we know a lot about our history, where we come from, and even traditions or speaking Spanish. So yeah, that's
kind of
how I came up with the name The Movement.
So, excuse me. So, what made you want to start this, like, this process and like sharing people and your knowledge about like your culture? Because this is pretty much what your goal is, right? With your brand.
Correct. I kind of just wanted to start it. I felt like there wasn't enough apparel that I can relate to in terms of t-shirts, for example. And I wanted something to call my own. I was going to school for business here in San Diego, and I saw this as an opportunity to start with something small. And also at the time, I was doing both Aztec dancing and bilingual political. But I wanted to get into something a little bit deeper, have an outlet to be able to express myself, who I am, and at the same time educate the community.
First of all, like, I want to know about the symbol that you use for The Movement. Is it called Aloni? How do you pronounce it?
The symbol is called Nawioli, which translates into English as The Movement.
Oh, okay.
Or to be more specific, the fourth movement.
Okay.
So it's an indigenous Aztec symbol, and the basic history behind it, or the relation, to give a better understanding, is it's like our version of a yin and yang symbol. So it's like the Mexican translation, if you will. But the symbol goes into something much deeper, into representing the fourth sun within Aztec mythology. But since the symbol itself represents or translates to the movement, again, it was something that I was on a journey for and still am, into influencing others, especially individuals who are closer to my age in their early 20s, who want something to really tie themselves into, to experience, to learn from.
What made you want to go on this journey to find, like, pretty much to find yourself, right? So, like, what caused you to, like, go on this journey?
To be honest, I grew up in Southern California. So, to be specific, North County, San Diego. And I grew up in a highly populated Caucasian community. There wasn't a lot of Mexicans or Latinos, if you will, that I went to school with or grew up with. So I didn't know anything about myself. I didn't see how I was any different from anyone else growing up. I mean, I felt like I was white, just like anyone else that I was in class with. And then came around high school, I started meeting different students and discovering these groups. And it turned out to be to where I ended up joining the high school's folklorical dance group. And even though I was participating through the performing arts, I still felt like there was something missing. I wanted something more. And then even it got to the point to where I would represent the region, but I didn't really know anything about them. I couldn't tell you the history, any of the knowledge, the stories, and I couldn't speak Spanish. And a lot of people that would approach me were very fluent in Spanish, Spanish-speaking individuals, and could, or since I couldn't communicate back to them in Spanish, it became a problem on many levels for people who would approach me or come out to support me. So this I saw as an opportunity to not only dig deeper to my roots, but to actually understand what's around us and what they don't teach us in school about our Latino history.
So, like, starting your brand, has it helped you understand yourself a little better?
Definitely. I've been able to meet a lot of people that have helped me along the way, who have helped to educate me, and I've passed my knowledge or my experience down to my followers. And I try and do that even with the events that I host or the designs that I come out with on a monthly basis. And I mean, the brand itself has really grown into something much larger. It's opened up endless opportunities for me. It's paid for my college tuition completely. I've been featured in numerous newspapers. And I actually recently became the official advertisement or representative, if you will, for Maricosta College here in San Diego because of it.
So do you throw events, or how does it work? Like, how do you promote yourself?
I do my promotion a little bit differently. I try to communicate or share my products or ideas on a more personal level in terms of really showing my everyday life or telling my followers what I learned that day about my family roots or maybe a new dance that I learned. Something that I've experienced or someone that I met.
So, like, what are you going to school for? Is it for, like, design or business? Does it have to do with anything for your brand? Or is it for, like, your culture, like, your growth as a human being? Like, are you taking any classes for... What you said the dance, what's the name of the dance?
I participate in both and Danza Azteca.
Uh-huh.
I'm not currently taking classes right now at university, but I was going to school for business management, and I've transferred my way into entrepreneurship classes. at Mariposa College and Belmont College here in San Diego.
Oh, so have you looked into like maybe the Aztec background, like your Aztec background, and hopefully like maybe teaching that, like, or is this your clothing? Is it the way that you're choosing to hand down that knowledge?
It's a little bit of everything, actually. So I try and pass down that knowledge with the content that I post, my design, and then I try and once in a while actually break down what different symbols or dances mean in my social media, specifically Instagram. So that way it gives other people resources to be able to understand something that they may not have access to themselves.
So like, who are some of the influences that you base maybe your designs off of or your branding off of? Like, is there any like big brand or like mom and pop brand that you kind of grew up seeing that you kind of want to emulate, kind of? But I understand you want to be your own man, you want to be your own person, and you want to set your own path. But is there anybody that you look up to, like maybe the business side or the design side?
I would say I have looked up to the style of Chavo Azteca, the owner of that brand. He's based out of Los Angeles. His name is Francisco. But I think I try to not really pay attention to what other people are creating in terms of their artwork. Because I want to be as original as possible, do stuff that people may not have seen before, and include a little bit of activism, if you will, here and there, or things that I've experienced. And I, all in all, I just try and bring that back into my artwork. But if there were someone that I would look up to in terms of business and how he markets and such, it would definitely be Francisco from Chavo Azteca.
So would you be able to share like some of the knowledge that you're trying to, well, share with me and the listener, some of the knowledge that you're sharing through your brand? Like, what are some of the messages that you're trying to put out there?
I would say some of the messages for the movement that I'm trying to convey are, don't be afraid to really dig deep and discover who you are as an individual, who you are in this country, and also your family history. I know me personally, growing up, especially in high school, I was actually kind of ashamed of being Latino, and that was only because I wasn't really around anyone who I can relate to. Again, I grew up in a highly populated area where it's just Caucasians and not much diversity within the community. But I decided to take a couple chances and join some community groups and even the ballet folklorical, and really just step outside of my comfort zone and see where it would take me. So I think one of the main messages is to don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be embarrassed. Don't care what anyone else thinks. That's something I definitely did. And while you're trying to discover who it is you are in this modern society, there's going to be people who don't support you, and there's going to be people that support you. But you can't let anything get to you. Don't take it personally. And another message that I try to convey is to go out and get your education. If you have a passion to do something, please do it. Whether it's money or family or influences that are trying to stop you from chasing your dream, don't let them. I try and convey that into some of my art and t-shirt design specifically. Like, for example, one of my t-shirts in the front, it says educate to cultivate. And that can be translated into many things, but for me personally, it was a design that I came out with for the month of March for Women's History Month. And in the back of the t-shirt, I actually have and Adelita, who's popularly singing and folklorical dancing and also in Mexican history, which basically they're woman warriors, and instead of giving her her traditional outfit, I decided to put a graduation gown on her, and instead of raising a gun into the air, she held her master's diploma, she held her graduation cap. So it's not just, I guess you would say, simple artwork or any other design that you would see. I try and put positive messages into my original artwork as much as possible.
So, like, where do you get your ideas from? Like, is it, like, maybe situations that you're in now? Or what, maybe family members or friends, stuff that they're going through, and is like, are you just, is this like maybe your way of helping them out, like through your, through the message or your brand?
Yeah, I would say it helps out both my family and those who see me as some sort of influence to them. And sorry, what was your question again?
Like, where do you get your designs from? Like, what inspires your designs?
I think most of my inspiration comes from something that I'm experiencing personally, or that I see as a major issue within the community. So, for example, one of my designs, it has the feet of Aztec and folklorical dancers, but in between those characters, there's a phrase that says, "I speak with my feet." And the reason why I decided to put something like that onto a t-shirt is the constant judgment that I would face recently, and for over a few years actually, is that I'm not able to speak fluently in Spanish. I'm not able to pronounce things correctly. I'm not able to speak Nahuatl, the indigenous Aztec language, but yet I do Aztec dancing. And surprisingly, for a majority of our community, that's offensive, especially to the older generations. I've received a lot of judgment saying that I'm not worthy to be on stage. I'm not worthy to learn these dances and represent these regions throughout Mexico. So instead of being bothered by people's remarks, especially from the older generation, I now laugh at it. And whenever they try and tell me something because I'm not fluent in whatever language it is that they speak, or dialect, I just laugh and tell them, well, I don't speak with my words, rather I speak with my feet. I'll let my feet represent who I am and what I'm trying to teach. So for that instance, I came out with that shirt. It's actually one of our most popular designs that says I speak with my feet.
And like, do you wear that like when you're dancing, maybe, like, so those people that maybe judged you, like, so they could look at it and like maybe like rub it in their face?
I don't wear them during performances, but it's definitely designs like that that I'll wear out in public after I get on stage or before I get on stage. But if it's like a community event, I'm certain to make sure people see it visibly. I'll purposely wear dramatic jewelry and stuff like that to go with it, to stand out and get people to see what it is I'm wearing and what my clothing says. But certainly it's something that I try and make seen and known. May not be on stage, but definitely at least while I'm there at that event, I try and be as expressive as I can.
So can you tell me about Copacaxli? Copacaxli? And like, why do you use them in, like, I think you have a mug, like incense coming out of it. Like, what's the meaning of them?
So a Copacaxli is the Nahua word for incense burner. And it's something that we use in our traditional Aztec blessing ceremonies. And the incense themselves may be anything from sage to tree sap. And the reason why we use that, it's something that we use in ceremony to help ask for permission from each direction, from the deities, the Aztec gods that we worship or represent. It also represents good energy, blessing the surrounding area in which we're trying to perform an indigenous Aztec blessing ceremony at. So really it's just something to bring good vibes and positivity and clear the air. But that's something that you'll always see in any Aztec ceremony. It's an incense burner, and they come in different shapes, different designs, and pottery. But again, it's an incense burner, but the real name for it is the Kopukashli.
Sorry about butchering the name.
I can talk a little bit in terms of the actual Aztec ceremonies and what's included within them. But I think to kind of give a whole basic interview, we would definitely need some more time. And again, as I mentioned, I don't know everything myself. So when people come along that I meet that are more educated on various topics relating to the Aztec culture, I try to ask them a bunch of questions or get answers from them whenever I get the chance.
How long have you been doing this, like the dancing?
I've been doing the Aztec dancing, I would say, about 6 years, I want to say, off and on. There's some years where I'm able to dedicate more time to it than others, just depending on my schedule. But before I started Aztec dancing, I always thought that every group was exactly the same. I mean, it consisted of different whistles and drums. And before I joined it or actually tried to learn about it, I just thought that they were playing random beats. To be quite honest, I'm sure that's what a majority of us would think. Like, we're not able to really differentiate each song or each dance that's being presented in front of us at community events or blessings and such. So when I actually joined the group, I started learning a lot. So in this group, Kapuli Omeokan, again from Oceanside, their mission is to not only teach us the rhythms and the dances themselves, but they try and educate us on the importance of these blessing ceremonies. They teach us how to make our outfits, because everything we wear is not allowed to be store bought, at least in our group. And again, every group is different on their rules or their vision, their principles. But for us specifically, if you ever get the chance to come out and see my group, everything we wear is all handmade. It's stuff that we've either taken days or months to make ourselves, from the headdresses to the ankle rattles to the rattles in our hands. It's all very custom and unique to each dancer. And also, when I started being more involved in the group, I had actually learned that my specific group dances in the style of Guerrero, which means that our presentations are as close as you can get to what you would see before the conquest, before the Europeans invaded. And there's three different varieties of Aztec dancing, one being Guerrero before the conquest, second being Concheros, which had a lot of influence after the European invasion. So with those groups, you'll see a lot of sparkly outfits, sparkly dresses, a lot of gold. You might see some religious figures within their outfits or flags. You might see hand drums that are a little bit different, or they have these very expressive and loud headdresses that might have peacock feathers and stuff. And third is a traditional style of dancing, they call it, which is kind of a mixture of everything, both European influence and before the conquest. But migrants specifically tries to stay as minimal as possible and as traditional as possible.
So can you tell me about like the stuff we wear? Like, what's the purpose of like in the, I mean, the dancing or in the culture? Like, why, like, for example, the like the braces, the like the things you put on your legs, the rattles that you put on your legs, like where did that come from? Like, well, what's the purpose of it? Like, I guess in the ritual, or like the and the headpieces and like everything that you put on your body, like all of it has a purpose, right?
Yeah, all of it has its own purpose. Again, I'm still learning with everything. But for the headdresses, for example, I specifically use rooster feathers and pheasant feathers, because that's what was traditionally used before the European invasion. But when you see Aztec dancers with headdresses that might contain dozens and dozens of feathers, or Aztec dancers that have numerous shells that are called ayuyotes around their ankles, traditionally what that represents is their knowledge about the history, about the dances and rituals. So how it's supposed to be done is the more feathers or shells or more accessories that you have represents the amount of dances, your experience, how many years you've been dancing, and stuff like that. So basically you earn what you wear. Even though you make it yourself, you have to earn it. Every group is different. I know some groups will just let you wear these very loud and expressive outfits. But when you go to approach some of these dancers, from what I've learned and from what I've noticed myself, is that if you ask them, oh, what does a particular dance mean? Or why do you do something this way within your ceremony? They're not able to really give you an answer. They don't know a lot of the history. They might be able to drum the song or follow along or lead a dance. But not every dancer is able to give you the history and depth. But what everything represents is basically your knowledge. So if you have more of something, that means you're more educated on its history and the culture. And everything is very symbolic. I can talk on for quite a while. But like, for example, the conch shells that we use, what that represents is fertility. So when we blow into the conch shells, it's like bringing life into the world, to be as basic as possible, because I know we're limited on time. And like, for example, you might see with a lot of the Aztec dancers, instead of having shorts, if you will, they're more like skirts, and then the front and the back are longer pieces of fabric. Well, what that represents, especially amongst the men, is, again, fertility and representing male body parts and stuff like that. So everything has its own story. Things might have their own tone, their own meaning, but there's so much to say. But yeah, when you see Aztec dancers, a lot of it's what they were supposed to be based on knowledge, based on their beliefs, but everything has a story or purpose behind it.
And how does one earn, like, something, like, one of the, like, like to wear the face paint or the shells? Like, how do you earn it?
I would say it's really up to the group leaders who are teaching that particular group. I know for me specifically, in order to earn a lot of the things that we wear, we have to be able to retell the stories of the objects that we use or different times in history within the Aztec culture, or we have to actually lead a dance in public during ceremonies without making mistakes. So for us, that's kind of how we earn what we wear, is being able to retell what we're learning in practice and workshops, and be able to not only be confident in it, but proficient, whether it be a dance, for example, or just a different topic within the culture. So that's how we earn it specifically.
So what do you think sets you apart from like other brands, like other clothing brands?
I would say what sets me apart is my involvement within the community. Rather than focus on developing who I am through a website, I like to actually be out within my community and any other community throughout, and really get to know people, meet my followers. I'm more of a face-to-face individual rather than communicating online. And I think because of that, it has made me a stronger brand. I'm more recognizable in the sense to where I can be somewhere that I've never been before, and a lot of people will recognize me, or they'll come up to me and ask to take a photo because they've heard so much about my brand, or they've heard that I'm real good friends with someone that they know, and they just, I feel like people appreciate a lot more when you're willing to listen to what they have to say in terms of culture, in terms of activism, in terms of something that they're experiencing. That's not something that every brand is willing to take the time to do. I feel like that's one major aspect that sets me apart from others. Second, I feel like I'm different from other brands because I don't focus on just artwork that's either modern or artwork that is completely traditional. I'm kind of in between, taking influences from both tradition and a modern perspective, being that I'm a fourth generation. So my originality in everything that I do is definitely something else that people compliment on.
So who's Adelita?
Adelita was one of the designs, characters that I explained earlier with my shirt, Educate to Cultivate. So Adelita is a female warrior. She can be seen or depicted in Mexican Revolution. So really, it's a character. It's not anyone specific, but they're actual women warriors who used to fight back in the day alongside the men in Mexico.
So is the movement your only brand, or are you also part of Brugado?
The movement is my clothing brand, but I definitely dug into event planning and being able to provide the community with not only educational events, but events that bring culture into Northern San Diego. Here in Northern San Diego, there's a lot of Latinos, a lot of Mexicans, but even though there's so many of us, we're still really underrepresented in more ways than one. So what I decided to do here was to produce two large events, one of them being Rukano. The name basically came from, I got my start here by doing pop-ups at breweries. I just felt breweries were a lot easier to obtain a booth versus community events. And breweries, in my own personal experience, are more open in terms of welcoming new businesses who aren't established yet. So the term Brucado actually means brewery and mercado, so I kind of merged them together. Because what I do is I host local community markets that feature different artisans, makers, creatives, restaurants, and up-and-coming businesses. And we all gather together once a month to display who we are and what we have to offer. So really, we're a little market that we host at Aztec Brewery in Vista, California. Another event that I ended up producing, which is actually my largest and most popular, is Cultura Fest SD. The reason I started Cultura Fest was actually back in 2016. I wanted to celebrate the anniversary, 1 year anniversary of my brand, which is The Movement. And while I was planning out the event, I originally wanted it, of course, to be about my success and what I've done over the course of a year as a clothing brand. But I decided that there wasn't really much traffic here in Orange County, so I wanted to include everyone, both trending businesses and individuals or entrepreneurs that have not had a platform to be able to display who they are. Especially when you're starting out as a new business, you don't really know where to turn to, where to go. And my events have become a platform for musicians and creatives, entrepreneurs and businesses to be introduced to a new market and be promoted through positivity and unite through culture, really, so everyone comes together to, again, to display who they are. So Cultura Fest, what I do with that is I welcome all Latino-based musicians, rappers, dancers, whatever you can think of. I go out and search for these people that have not been seen, have not been heard, and I gather them all for one day, for one large festival. So really, Cultura Fest is a portfolio of people who I've met and encountered throughout the course of a year, and I invite them all back for one large Latino cultural festival. So that is Cultura Fest.
So getting your start in like breweries, I see that you're also you're starting to get into the like the brewery game, right?
So one of the breweries that I first started pop-ups with was actually Aztec Brewery. It was for the Halloween festival, and I decided to give it a shot. And over the years, I've developed a real strong relationship with the brewery, and this past March, in preparation for Cultura Fest, which I host at the brewery as well in Vista, I had the crazy idea that I wanted my own beer, and I'm the type of person to where if I want something or I envision something, I try to make it become a reality, and I try and do it as quickly as possible. So when I met with Aztec one day in early spring, I told him what I wanted to do for the upcoming Cultura Fest, and before the meeting ended, I said, well, how about we do my own beer for the event? And I was very nervous, and after I told them my idea, I felt very stupid and felt like they were just going to reject it. But to my surprise, they gave in and actually said yes. let's do it. And then after they agreed, they had me meet with their brewer for a meeting, and we developed the flavors for Cultura IPA, is what we call it. We did that back in March, and Cultura IPA is the California style IPA that's flavored with both watermelon and chipotle. So really, me digging into having my own beer to represent my brand and both my event, it was really just taking a risk and throwing something out there. I guess you can say it's by luck how I started to dig into the beer industry. It was an opportunity, and Aztec Brewery saw something in me and my brand, some potential, and they decided to go along with it and help me launch my own beer in collaboration with them.
So that beer, is it only available there? Would I be able to like somehow get that beer without going all the way to San Diego?
That's something that we're currently working on. For right now, it's only available at Aztec Brewery. But I'm currently talking to them and pushing them into seeing how we can distribute it to other areas and other counties. Because a lot of our supporters, especially vendors that participate in our event, are from Los Angeles. So that's something that's definitely in the works, and hopefully we can do something rather soon. But in the meantime, it's only available to Aztec Brewery.
How did your family take it when you wanted to start your own brand? Like, what did they think when you started?
My family kind of thought it was a joke at first. They wanted to be supportive, but at the same time, they weren't certain. And the reason for that was because I guess I can be full of surprises where I catch my family off guard. I first started doing that back in high school when I said, oh, I joined some clerical group today at school. And for them, that was surprising because I don't, at least back then, I don't speak any Spanish at all. Wasn't really into the culture at all, so I just kind of shocked them one day. And it seems like I continuously end up doing that to where they're not able to tell whether I'm serious or not about something I want to do. I think it always catches them off guard, but once they saw that I started researching into how to start a clothing brand and I started obtaining my licenses and everything, they saw that I was serious about it. But again, I think it's just something that always catches family off guard. Of course, they're supportive, but they don't always believe that you're going to do everything that you say. And that's something that I try and do personally is if I say I'm going to do something, I try and make it happen. And if for some reason I failed and I fail, at least I tried. But I try and make all of my ideas a reality, or culture and background.
So we're just going to wrap it up. So last question, what advice can you give somebody that pretty much wants to start their own business or wants to just follow a dream? Like, what can you tell them?
I would say don't chase your dream because of money or education. If you really want it, you're going to find the answers and you're going to figure out how to do it. Even if it's something that's more DIY versus having a professional presence or image, go out and do it. Find what works for you. You'll have people that think you're crazy and because you want to start a business and they won't back you. But once you have a footing into what you're trying to do and you start gaining attention, and that's when people tend to act like they've been supporting you from the beginning. Just ignore all outside influences. Ignore what your family has to say, whether it's supportive or negative. Go out and do what you want to do. And when you have a solid product, then you'll know that the struggle, the hassle, the judgment was all worth it. So I think that's what I would say.
All right. So I always, at the end of the episode, I always like to ask my guests if there's anything I didn't mention that you would like to tell the listener. Or if you have any questions for me, you can ask me. Because sometimes, you know, like, I can't get all the info. There's only so much time that I could, like, spend on the show. But is there anything else that I might have missed that you want the listeners to hear?
I can't think of anything other than, I guess I would say, be original, follow your passion, especially if it's something you're good at, whether it be dancing or doing graphic design. Just follow your passion, your dreams, and don't give up. But other than that, I think we're good.
Alright, so why don't you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram handle is TheMVMTBrand. Or you can also find us on our website at TheMVMTBrand.com.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to play sevens because since I'm using my phone, I don't know how the quality is going to be. So instead of, you know, wasting our time and not using it, we're just going to skip through it. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you guys my plugs. So you can find me at Let Me Know Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or you could just go to any, just go Google, type in Let Me Know Pod, L-E-M, make sure it's L-E-M, not L-E-T, because I'll send you to a different account, and I'm not gonna be accountable for what you see there. Alright guys, so you know what, I'm gonna let you guys go, but before I go, I just want to thank you guys for letting me be part of your day. Alright guys, so next time, I'll see ya. Bye.
Has been brought to you by Let Me Know Podcast. New episode every week, available on all streaming platforms.